You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you.
Good evening, dear friends. We'd like to start the evening off with a prayer.
Alleluia! Jesus is risen from the dead.
Welcome, dear listeners. We are Nick and
Mary Angela,
host of the program Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. Our program is all about celebrating our Catholic faith with joy. We have a lot to celebrate, and this evening we will be focusing on the joy of Easter. We will also be talking about the Divine Mercy, which is the Sunday after Easter. So before we start, we'd like to thank all the listeners all over Toronto, the people with radios, people listening on the internet around the world, and most of all, Jesus. So, Mary Angela, when I say to you, Happy Easter, what are some of the words that come to my mind?
Well, first of all, it's joy, because it is a very joyful season. Other words are glorious, resurrection, because obviously he was resurrected. Beautiful, because it is a beautiful season, and triumphant, celebration.
Yes, celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice word.
And alleluia, because that's what we sing a lot during this time.
And what is it? What do they say? We are the people of the alleluia.
Yeah, alleluia is our song.
Yes, alleluia is our song.
We are the Easter people, and alleluia is our song. I think that's the quote.
So, So to begin with our show, the first half, first part of it will be about Easter joy. So Saint Ignatius always would say, be fearless, be joyful, be renewed, living in the spirit of Easter. So we live with joy. Can you share with us a little bit about living with joy, Mary Angela?
Yeah. Here's probably three concrete suggestions for us to live with joy. Joy is a deep down gladness that can't be taken away, even in the midst of sorrow. The passion and resurrection of Jesus teaches us that suffering is transformed through faith in the risen Christ. With this faith, we are able to hold on to an enduring sense of joy, even in the midst of sadness we experience from a loss of a loved one, a failure to achieve an important goal, or a setback during recovery from an illness. Our Easter greeting, "The Lord is risen," is not a proclamation of Christ's resurrection only to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're also called to proclaim this joy to the whole world. The deepest truth about our Easter joy is that we are called to be a source of that joy to the world, and more specifically to our neighbors, friends, co-workers.
Wow, that's great. Especially now, Easter didn't end on Easter Sunday. Easter just began. It was the Lenten season that was over.
Yes.
And we went to Holy Week, and now it's the Easter season. How many days is the Easter season?
It's 50 days. It's longer than Lent. Lent is only 40 days, but we have Easter to celebrate for 50 days.
Wow, that leads us right into Pentecost, which I think is sometime in May this year. So we can also, the second point is live without fear. The resurrection teaches us that God can overcome anything, even death. When the risen Christ appears to the women at the tomb and later to his disciples, his first words are, "Do not be afraid," which I believe is repeated or mentioned at least over 80 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid. These words speak to our heart, helping us to cope with fear from the loss of a job, serious illness, or a crumbling relationship. Miranda, what is the third concrete point you would like to share about Easter?
Well, can I just add that it's our faith that allows us to live without a fear and our trusting God before we move on? Yeah. So we can always have our hope in the risen Christ, right? The third point is live with new eyes. So Easter also means to live with a sense of newness, that there's this, it's beautiful that it coincides with spring because there's a newness of things, of things beginning to grow, though right now the weather isn't the greatest, but...
But the Blue Jays are starting.
Yes, the Blue Jays are starting. There's a return of the spring and to lift our spirits, right? And so it makes the whole world new. The resurrection of Jesus makes all things new, too. So the Easter spirit is a spirit of renewal that enables us to show up at work with a positive attitude, to renew relationships that have been taken for granted, and to express appreciation and affection to those that are closest to us. So it means seeing the world through new eyes, and in particular through God's eyes. So as we said, it's 50 days that we have to cultivate this spirit of Easter, of joy.
So it's kind of like Lent part two. So if we if you thought you could do better at Lent, well, it's never too late.
Because, yeah, let's continue.
Yeah, maybe we can set some new goals, and this way we can become closer to the Lord that way.
Mm-hmm. But so, this time we focus on the joy, right?
Yes, it's always focusing on joy. We can fast from judging others and feast from dwelling on Christ. We can fast from worrying and feast on God's divine providence. We can fast from negatives and feast on affirmatives because Jesus came to save us, and on Easter Sunday he rose this is our hope, that we too will one day be able to, when our earthly life is finished, is to join Jesus in heaven. And watching some of the plays and some of the things that we experienced at Easter time, it really opened my eyes just to see how much Jesus gave himself up for us. We saw a passion play at our church at All Saints, and it was really, truly moving with some of the young kids that were involved. And what did you like about that passion play that we experienced at All Saints?
Well, that particular passion play presented like a dialogue or something showing like the perspective of, the different characters. Like, for example, Peter and what his thoughts were. Or
Pilate
and what his thoughts were during the gospel story. So it gave you a kind of a different perspective, because often you don't hear that, right? In the Bible, it just tells the story. But to hear what their thoughts were at that time, yeah, brings things anew, right?
Yeah, and just the pure innocence of watching these young, I like to say not children, but they were like... between 10 and 17. Mm-hmm. So these young people.
Yes.
Really gave us a really different and fresh perspective that what Jesus had to go through. And plus, it was good to see a lot of young people in
involved
the church.
Involved, too, yeah.
And when you see that, you know the church is going to be strong. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep the church strong because, you know, Jesus Christ is the hope and light of the world.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so that was one of the many things that we did during Lent leading up to Easter Sunday. And like always, we go to Holy Thursday night, and we experienced a wonderful evening of adoration with Jesus. And we moved to Good Friday and then the Easter Vigil on Saturday, which led to Sunday Mass, and Jesus is resurrected. So speaking of the resurrection, we'd like to share with you some inspiring quotes on the resurrection.
Yes, so here are some inspiring quotes. First, it comes from Pope Francis, and it was given during his Easter Vigil homily in 2014. The gospel is Easter is very clear. We need to go back there to see Jesus risen and to become witnesses of his resurrection. This is not to go back in time. It is not a kind of nostalgia. It is a returning of our first love in order to receive the fire which Jesus has kindled in the world and to bring that fire to all people, to the very ends of the earth. So I guess what he's telling us is that we shouldn't keep this news, this good news to ourselves, right?
We need to proclaim
it. Yeah, we need to proclaim it to the whole world and not to be afraid to share it with others.
We have to be like the shepherds at the nativity scene. You know, once they heard that Jesus was born, just like us, what we know the good news that Jesus' resurrection, we need to share it.
Yeah, he conquered death, and it's exciting news to hear that he conquered death and we live forever.
Especially now with there's a lot of division and conflict around the world, and we need the hope and light of Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded because sometimes we can be overwhelmed or desensitized or just like drained of whatever energy. And we forget how the resurrection of Jesus is filled with hope and light. And when we turn to Jesus, that he is our source. He's the one that gives us the power to go forward. Another quote from, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He says, "The cross has asked the questions. The resurrection had answered them like this." The cross had asked, why does God permit evil and sin to nail justice to a tree? The resurrection answered, that sin, having done its worst, might exhaust itself and this be overcome by love that is stronger than either sin or death. Wow. Archbishop Fulton Sheen knew a thing or two.
Very powerful words.
About the resurrection.
This quote from Hans Urs von Balthasar. If one does away with the fact of the resurrection, one also does away with the cross, for both stand and fall together. And one would then have to find a new center for the whole message of the gospel. What would come to occupy this center is at best a mild Father God who is not affected by the terrible injustice in the world, or man in his morality and hope who must take care of his own redemption.
Thank you very much, Mariangela. Right now, we'd like to share with you some Easter Sunday prayers. Lord God, you love this world so much that you gave your only Son that we might be called your children too. Lord, help us to live in the gladness and grace of Easter Sunday every day. Let us have hearts of thankfulness for your sacrifice. Let us have eyes that look upon you, your grace, and rejoice in our salvation. Help us to walk in that mighty grace. and tell your good news to the world, all for your glory. We pray to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So a couple other words that come to mind when we think of Easter are heavenly, freedom, liberty, the Alleluia, renewal, because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So right now, we'd like to share with you some quotes at this time. Matthew, from the book of Matthew, he said this.
And it's kind of turned into an Easter prayer. Do not be afraid. God, I hand over to you those things that make me so afraid. Resurrect the parts of my faith squelched by fear. I know that you are looking for Jesus. God, when my soul is searching, help me know the answer to every longing that can be found in you.
So when people say this phrase, he is risen, and what do we reply, Mary Angela?
We reply, God, the fact that Jesus is risen should lift my head, my heart, and my attitude. Help me to live today as if I really believe this with every part of my life.
Another part to that, when I say to you, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's right. Jesus also said, come and see. Jesus, you had the angels invite the women to see you. They were the first ones to see you were risen. Please invite me into a personal relationship with you every day.
And the last part is, then go quickly and tell his disciples. We can respond by saying, Jesus, I don't want to be a secret keeper with my faith. I want to be a bold and gracious truth proclaimer. For you, with you, because of you. Me, the unwanted person whom you loved, redeemed, and wanted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, very much, Mary Angela. So let us pray with another Easter prayer. God our Father, creator of all, today is the day of Easter joy. This is the morning on which the Lord appeared to those who had begun to lose hope, and he opened their eyes to what the scriptures foretold. That first he must die, and then he would rise and ascend into the Father's glorious presence. I think after going through 40 days and Holy Week, a lot of us can be overjoyed. Some of us can be overwhelmed. But it's really good to step back and see and assess where we were at the beginning of Lent, and where we are on the after Easter Sunday, as we spoke about, is a time of renewal. It's not about death; it's about life. So I really, we both recommend take that quiet time, because God's voice is the voice of silence, and if you could, as mentioned, maybe do some quiet time in prayer at your house, quiet time, even better, at church, mm-hmm. or find time in adoration, and just to step back, because sometimes we may be too busy during the Lenten season that we can't really absorb it all, because, or maybe we just have so much, right, that we need just time to celebrate it more in a different way, right, in the sense of just the quiet time with God. It is a wonderful time of the year, Easter. I love Easter because of the fact, you know, we were reminded that how much Jesus loved us, and that our life is not the end. At the end, it's the beginning of life eternal. And I saw a quote not too long ago. It said, our life, at the end of our life, the only thing we can take with us is what we've given. you know, that being a smile, did we share a smile to make others happy? And love, did we love? Because that was what Jesus was all about. So, yes, Maranza.
I just wanted to also share with the listeners that we went to see the film, what was it?
Paul.
Paul, the Apostle of God was,
yes.
Was the title, I believe, yeah. And if you haven't gone to see it, highly recommended. It was a really powerful film about the relationship between St. Paul and St. Luke. And they were both in prison at the same time at one point. And well, first Luke would often visit Paul, but then they became imprisoned together. And the relationship, and throughout the, it was really, really well put together because you could recognize a lot of the Bible passages within their conversations. And, you know, there was a couple of points where they would say, write that down. Paul said to Luke, write that down, you know. Yeah.
Make sure,
brilliant.
It ended up in the New Testament.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly, in the Acts of the Apostles. So, yeah, did you? What did you think of the film?
I liked it in the sense that they sacrificed themselves. It wasn't them. It was Paul always says, "It's not me, but it's Christ in me."
Mm-hmm.
And just to see that how much he suffered and he didn't lose faith.
Right. Yeah.
And that even the worst of. People, which Paul had a really bad name, persecuting the Christians, even the hardest of heart can have a conversion.
Yeah, he had really great love and true trait of faith
trust. He turned a lot of his negativity into positivity, and he was the greatest. I think he wrote over 35% of the New Testament. So, good movie.
Yeah.
So, other words that come to mind when we think of the Easter season and the love of Jesus, which he left us, I like the word awesome. He left us with a great abundance. And how truly blessed we are to be fortunate to be followers of Christ. You know, because he is completely one word, love, you know, and it's essential. It's such an essential part of our life when we include him into our life, because we will be more generous. We will be more grateful. We'll be more hopeful because Jesus is so inspirational that he... I don't think he ever gets boring in our lives because it's like the well that always gives fresh water. Mm-hmm. You know, when we turn to him, we become jubilant. So, Maranza, would you like to share with us a Bible quote?
Yeah, the Bible passage comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 26. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. How fortunate, how lucky we are that God has destroyed death.
Amen, amen. And I'd like to share with you one Easter prayer. Dear God, thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and the power in your name, Jesus. Thank you that you hold the keys over death. that you, by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan and what you did for the salvation of mankind. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we will take a break and we will play one of our favorite Tazé songs.
You're listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections on Joy.
Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
As we continue to talk about Easter, there are many, so much joy, and we don't know where to start.
That's so true.
Sometimes we're challenged, so...
Yeah, let's look at some other quotes, and this quote is about resurrections. It comes from Charles Swindoll. The devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a while longer. But don't worry, the forces of evil are breathing their last. Not to worry, he's risen.
That's
so important to remember.
Yeah, he is risen indeed.
Yeah. Because of his resurrection, we are saved.
And a lot of people forget that. And honestly, I think some people don't even know that.
Mm.
You know, when people start to...
They're in the grips of fear.
Yeah, fear or mocking their own faith. And it's always good to remind them, well, he came for a reason.
Yep.
Came to save us. He is risen. He is...
Risen indeed.
The resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's grace. Easter says you cannot put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. So never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of Christ.
Joy of Christ risen, that's Mother Teresa's words. Yes. Okay, how about a quote from Josh McDowell? While the resurrection promises a new and perfect life in the future, God loves us too much to leave us alone to contend with pain, guilt, and loneliness of our present life.
Yeah, and here's one I like is, here is an amazing thing about Easter. The resurrection, on Resurrection Sunday, for Christians, it is this, that Christ, even in the dying moments on the cross, gives us the greatest illustration of forgiveness possible.
Mm.
Wow, you know, talk about courage, right?
Yeah, so important, forgiveness at all times. Optimism hopes for the best without any guarantee of its arriving and is often no more than whistling in the dark. Christian hope, by contrast, is faith looking ahead to the fulfillment of the promises of God. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day of his life and every moment beyond it, the believer can say with truth, on the basis of God's own commitment, that the best is yet to come. How lucky are we? How fortunate are we to have this hope in God and trust in Him that all will be well?
Well, it's good. Like we were talking on prior shows, to do an examination of conscience, right? So we put Jesus at the center, and then we say, "Okay, Jesus, what have I done for you?" Okay, Jesus, what am I doing for you? And the third part being, okay, Jesus, what will I do for you? Now, if we look especially at the Passion of Christ, what he went through to take away our sins. And the thing that still amazes me is people just don't understand that he came here for salvation of mankind. And, you know, I try not to get too, try to answer why this and why that. You just turn to him and see the courage that he had. And when we see how much love he has for us, I think it's part of our life that we need to share back and to spread the good news, as Mariangela was saying. So other words I'd like that describe this Easter season are overjoyed. Outstanding things will happen when you look to Jesus as the light and joy of the world. not just outstanding, but phenomenal things, sensational things happen when we turn to him and make him the center. Not only that, tremendous things will happen. Terrific things will happen because our lives will be transformed. We will be triumphant and victorious. So at this time, we shared with you some quotes, some reflections on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the week after Easter, we call it the Divine Mercy Sunday. So we have just recently celebrated the Divine Mercy Sunday. So, Marianza, can you share with me, as we move from the Easter Sunday resurrection to Divine Mercy Sunday, and we'll just explain a little bit about the love and the mercy of Jesus.
So what exactly is divine mercy? Well, the message of divine mercy is very simple. It is that God loves us, all of us, and he wants us to recognize that his mercy is greater than our sins, so that we will call upon him with trust, receive his mercy, and let it flow through us to others. So all will come to share his joy. And the divine mercy message is one that we can call to mind simply by remembering the ABCs. You like that, huh? ABCs.
Nick. Very simple.
Very simple. And A is ask for his mercy. God wants us to approach him in prayer, constantly repenting of our sins and asking him to pour his mercy out upon us and upon the whole world. What's B?
Is to be merciful. It's not easy, but we need to make that a decision. So to be merciful, God wants us to receive his mercy and let it flow through us to others. He wants us to extend love and forgiveness to others just as he does to us. So it really isn't that difficult because he showed us his mercy first. So it's not like we're just giving away something. We've already received it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's only fair, if not providential, is to give it back. That's why we received it at the beginning.
Amen.
So now we move to C.
And C is completely trust in Jesus. God wants us to know that the graces of his mercy are dependent upon our trust. And the more we trust in Jesus, the more we will receive. I remember attending a retreat one time at, you know, at the Manresa, and it was led by Father Philip, and he spoke about God's mercy and how it's like a shower upon us, and we just have to like open our arms and accept it, like if we were, as if we were holding a basket and catch all the mercies that are falling up upon us, because God loves us. He wants to give us all the graces.
Yes, and on that retreat, I also remember speaking of mercy, he says to simply remind us of mercy. We breathe in Jesus, and we breathe out mercy.
Mercy.
So it's a very simple prayer.
Wow.
That I think we can do. How many breaths do we take? Probably 40,000 a day. So maybe make minimum 10 as the Jesus mercy prayer.
Divine Mercy Sunday, how did it came to be? Do we know that? How it came to be?
Yes, in the Jubilee 2000, St. Pope John Paul II proclaimed that from that year forward, the second Sunday of Easter would be celebrated as Divine Mercy Sunday. This was proclaimed at the canonization of St. Faustina, who worked through her life to make all aware of the mercy of Jesus. Saint Faustina in the convent heard a call from God to make God's mercy known to the world so that the world may be full or may fully receive God's healing grace. And you mentioned in the Apostle Paul movie, St. Paul told St. Luke to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
This happened here. Jesus told St. Faustina to write down the conversations he had with her. And I've read a little bit of it, and it's like 800 pages. But how can you get bored of a book that basically is Jesus talking to you or talking to her, or in the end, it's really talking to us? So I really recommend that you read it.
Yeah, and in St. Faustina's spiritual life, her contemplation on mercy of God led her to develop a childlike trust in God and a deep love for her neighbor. Don't we all have to aspire to that childlike trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's important, I believe. So how should we talk a little bit about how we pray the chaplet?
Sure. We could talk about how the prayer is done.
So it consists of the recitation of prayers to the Eternal Father with the use of the rosary for the sake of Christ's sorrowful passion. So the chaplet is prayed as follows. We begin with the sign of the cross, and we do one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and then the Apostles' Creed. And then on the Our Father beads, we recite the following. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Then on the 10 Hail Mary beads, we say the following. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. So we repeat the Our Father beads and the Hail Mary beads, the same passage, the quotes or prayers, and that goes on for the five decades. And then we conclude by reciting three times, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I recommend...
So it's quite a simple prayer.
Yeah, it's a simple prayer using the rosary itself. And if you go to your church, there's all... You see these pamphlets that show you how to do the chaplet. And I have a few at home, and they're very powerful. And I highly recommend next time you go to church, pick one up.
And when we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, like we just did, we as the faithful, we're called to reflect on the graces we've received in our life, personal graces we've received through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so that we can become fully aware of the mercy of God that comes upon us and for the whole world.
We have we can share some 6 points when we do the chaplet. Forgiveness comes from the mercy of God. Reconciliation takes place through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The presence of the Holy Spirit among us is a sign of God's forgiveness. The church plays a large role in the extension of God's forgiveness to us. The priest acts as judge of the person's sincerity in seeking forgiveness. And forgiveness is granted in the name of all three persons in the Trinity. And that's a little bit about the absolution.
A little bit more about divine mercy. The resurrection of Jesus was the most important event in the history of the world. When the Lord appeared in the upper room to the apostles, pointing out his wounds, It was to demonstrate that he was crucified, the crucified Christ, and to show that he was resurrected from the dead, the final proof that he was God. He then bestowed on the apostles the power to forgive sins, which, in effect, divine mercy coming into the whole world. That's what it was. And it was the beginning of the church on earth. And in 1931, Jesus appeared as the same image in another room, this time the room of a young nun, again showing his wounds, emphasizing the power of those wounds as rays from a fount of reconciliation and renewal, rays of love and mercy. This was divine mercy, his victory on the cross, his resurrection, coming into a very sinful world once again, a world that was about to plunge man into the depths of a horrific world war. Yeah, we forgot to mention that St. Faustina was given a vision of Jesus with these rays pouring out from him. It's a really beautiful, really beautiful depiction of him.
And what does it say on the bottom of the of most of the pictures?
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. And if we can start every morning by saying that, Jesus, I trust in you, I think it's going to be a very good day.
Yes.
So repeat. Let's repeat it again. Jesus,
I trust in you.
So going back to the prayer of the divine mercy, there are, if you're doing the novena to the divine mercy, on the first day, Jesus asks us to bring to him all mankind, especially all sinners, and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. You know, when I read something like this, in the ocean of my mercy, it reminds me, I love the beach, so when I hear something like that, someone explained how big is God's love and mercy. It says, well, go to a beach and pick up a grain of sand, and every single bit of sand together, when you see that beach, is how much love and mercy Jesus has for us.
Wow, so, that's really big, huge, immense.
Yeah, so you can't really describe it. You can have all the money in the world, and that wouldn't be a couple comparable to all the love and mercy Jesus has for us. So we're just going to go through each day on what the novena asks us
to focus on.
Yeah.
So for the first day, it's to bring...
Well, we shared that. We'll go into the second point.
Oh, sorry. I missed that. Sorry. Second day is bring the souls of the priests and religious and immerse them in my unfathomable mercy.
The third day, Jesus asked to bring all devout souls and immerse them again in the ocean of mercy.
The fourth day is for those who do not believe in God and those who do not yet know me. So let's focus on them.
Yeah, and nowadays I'm finding there's a lot of pagans, seculars, atheists, those who don't believe. Those are the ones that, not to say that we're any better, but Jesus is asking us to bring them to him.
Mm-hmm.
On the fifth day, today, Jesus says, bring to me the souls of those who have separated themselves from the church for whatever reason, be it physical, mental, or spiritual, because sometimes we may fall into a rut or into maybe some of us may experience a depression, but that is why we're there in people's lives, is to bring them closer to God.
On the sixth day, he asks us to bring to him the meek and humble souls and the souls of the little children and immerse them in his mercy.
On the seventh day, today, Jesus asks for the souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy and immerse them in his mercy. So it's not just the ones who are gone or separated from Jesus that he wants mercy. He also wants to refresh the souls of those who have shown mercy.
The eighth day is to bring to him the souls that are detained in purgatory and immerse them in the abyss of his mercy.
In the ninth day, today, Jesus asks us to bring the souls who have become lukewarm and immerse them in this, the abyss of his never-ending mercy. So we also, watching the Passion Play, the whole theme of the play itself was, it's not too late. And if we believe in Jesus and his divine mercy, and it is said that even those who are the worst of criminals or have done the terrible things, if they, even on their deathbed, admit that they were wrong and turn their lives over and accept Jesus' divine mercy, I think when they talk to St. Peter, it'll be easier for them to get into heaven. But it has to be with a contrite heart. And as Mary Angela was talking about, the rays coming from the pitcher of the divine mercy, will explain what they are a little bit more in detail.
So the rays on the picture represent the blood and water which gush forth from the heart of his mercy, and his agonizing heart was opened on the cross. Their pale rays symbolize the water which justifies the soul. The red rays represents the blood, which is the life of the soul. These rays shield the soul before the wrath of our Father. Fortunate is he who lives in their shelter, for the just hand of God will never reach him.
So, dear friends, as we come near the closing of our program, we want to thank you so much for listening and being part of our Jesus with us. And this evening, we spoke about Easter joy and the divine mercy of Jesus. And if we wake up every morning or every day knowing that how much Jesus loves us through his resurrection, and if that isn't good enough, he reminds us with his divine mercy.
Indeed.
So it's kind of like bookends, and we're in the middle. So knowing this, how can we not have a great Easter season leading to Pentecost? And then as is quoted in the New Testament, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep. So I am Nick.
And I am Mary Angela. Let's continue to stay joyful in this Easter season.
Easter season, and enjoying the mercy and all the joy that Jesus gave us.
And please join us for our next program on May the 9th, the second Wednesday of the month, for our program, Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.